A general introduction, and we'll, as we learn each verse, we'll sing it.
Let's go for it.
Okay, so how do I know that the first that this song was written by Rav Shlomo Alkabetz?
Shamor, Mikra,
Mikdash,
and
Hinari. Excellent, right? You guys look inside. You'll see that the first four paragraphs spell out the phrase, the word Shlomo.
Whoa.
And by the way, that answers the very
Shlomo
Alkabetz. Yeah.
My friend's last name is Oxford.
Thank you for that. He was really, yeah, very likely.
My friend is 10th generation Ben Levin from, what's his name, the Baal Shem Tov.
Cool. Awesome. So Shlomo, by the way, this also helps us answer a classic question that the Mepharshim ask, which is, we know there are 10 commandments, right? One time God said Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, and one time He said Shomer et Yom HaShabbat, right?
Yes.
Which one did He do first?
Both.
Which one, chronologically, in the Torah itself, which one appears? Zachor. Zachor. And yet, which one appears here? Shomer v'Zachor. It really, it should be
Zachor
v'Shomer. So why did the author change the Shomer v'Zachor?
Because the
Shomer
is more appealing to us on a human level.
You'll never know.
So what you, is so that I'll give you the fancy answer, and then I'll give you the probably real answer. The fancy answer is Shomer is like the don'ts, and Zachor is the do's. So like we're dancing like crazy. It's Kabbalat Shabbat. We're having fun, and so we're stressing the Zachor. But at the same time, we have to remember, like, first do to refrain from breaking Shabbos, you need to keep the don'ts of Shabbos to create space so that the Zachor is actually a meaning. In other words, if I'm dancing like crazy, but then a minute later I'm smoking a cigarette on Shabbos, so then my Shabbos is not really, you know, that dancing is not really expressing the true message of Shabbos. But it's like if you have a basketball game, you need the rules, you can't travel, you can't distance, that's the Shomer, that creates a space of Shabbos. And then the Zachor, the dancing, and the Kiddush, and all the do's of Shabbos, have meaning. So first Shomer, and then
that's
Zachor.
That's a fancy answer. That's what I thought.
That's not what you thought?
It is what I thought.
Oh, so me and you are on the same page. That's the answer that I gave, and I think that's a fancy answer. But the probably, in addition, the simple answer is his name Shlomo. So it wouldn't have worked if it's Zachor or Shomer.
Yeah.
It would have been Zlomo.
That's
I don't know. I'm assuming that there's a deeper reason that Shlomo Alkabetz did it, but that also might have been part of it.
Oh, you mean why did he put
the acrostic Shlomo?
You're saying why did Shlomo?
Why did Zachor? Why didn't he write Zachor or Shomer? Why did he write Shomer or Zachor?
So put his name in it.
Zachor before Shomer.
No, I'm not. I'm saying why he wrote Shomer and Zachor. Yeah. Okay. Fine. That's all interesting. But Shlomo Alkabetz, who was he? When did he live? General introduction.
He lived in Peru.
He lived in Tzfat.
Very different places.
He moved to Tzfat. I don't remember.
The reason I asked is my friend's dad's in Peru.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is in Peru.
Who knows?
Yeah.
He lived in Tzfat at the same time of the Arizal, and when all the Kabbalists were doing their thing, he was at the time of the Rav Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and it was like the Kabbalist, the apex of Kabbalist history in Tzfat, and he was one of the main people there, one of the main rabbis, the student of the Beirav, I believe, and he also, interestingly enough, you know the custom to stay up all night and learn Torah on Shavuos?
Yeah.
Never. He's really the reason we do that.
Wow.
Because he had a dream and a vision, and in the vision, I think the Arizal revealed that you should stay up all night and learn Torah. But it was from his dream, from Shlomo Alkabetz. He was a poet, he was a mystic, and he was part of the Kabbalistic Chevra, and he wrote many, many of our songs.
Is this the only one he does his name as an acrostic for?
I think this, I'm not sure if this is the only one, but I don't know. I'm not familiar enough to know. He also wrote, I think he wrote a sefer called Manot HaLevi, which is a book on Purim, on the laws of Purim. Mm-hmm. He was a scholar. Anyways, okay, so that's a little bit about Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, who the Arizal gave him his endorsement. Rav Luria said, like, this guy is super holy. Anything he says, it's like Ruach HaKodesh. Okay? So that the idea of stamp approval of the result, it went. Okay? By the way, what else started, besides for Lechadoli, what else started with the Arizal and Rosh Hashanah Alkavitz?
I don't know.
All of Kabbalah Shabbat.
Yeah.
The concept of going out into the fields and greeting Shabbos and singing and dancing was really invented. It was mentioned in the Gemara, but it really became a thing from Rosh Hashanah Alkavitz and the Arizal and that Kabbalistic Chevet and Tzfat. And then from there, it came out to the whole world. Okay. Fun facts. All right. So Lecha Dodi is the main piyut, the main song of Kabbalah Shabbat. It's not halacha, meaning you're not a sinner if you didn't say Lecha Dodi, but it's the minhag, the Jewish people that we sing Lecha Dodi, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, both sing Lecha Dodi, right? Sephardim sing Lecha Dodi. Okay, so now let's learn a little bit what it means. I didn't prepare fully for this year, so it just happened. But there's a whole Kabbalistic side of this year. Of like, because he was a Kabbalist. So there's a whole hidden Kabbalistic layer of things, which I'm not right now going to go into. We're going to more stay on the simple one. Okay? First paragraph. Licha dodi lichar kala p'nei Shabbos nekabbalah. What does that mean?
Come, my beloved, to greet the bride. Let us welcome the Sabbath.
Excellent. Okay, so who's the beloved? Who's the bride? What are we talking about now?
Beloved is children of Israel.
Okay, so that's... We are the children of Israel. Where do you get that idea that we are considered the beloved?
We're God's beloved.
But where does that idea come from? Shira Shirim. Yeah, where is that from?
Yeah, Shira Shirim.
Exactly. Anila Dodila Dodili. Shira Shirim often compares the Jewish people to the lover. So, thus, as we suggested, Lecha Dodi refers to Jewish people come out, come to the fields. So, I personally like doing Kabbalah Shabbat outside, not indoors, whenever possible. Good story about that, too, if you guys are interested. Likrat Kala. Who is the Kala?
Shabbos.
Shabbos Kala.
Okay. So that's one interpretation. The Kala is Shabbos, because it's a feminine. And the other interpretation is the Shechina, which is God's feminine aspect, which can be felt.
Feminine.
Okay? There's God's like father, like removed aspect. And then there's the Shechina, which represents the part of God which we can tap into. And that's the Kala. Or you could say it's Shabbos. Okay? Good. Pnei Shabbos Nekabbalah. What does that mean, Pnei Shabbos Nekabbalah?
Let's
welcome the face of Shabbos. Interestingly enough, more than anything else, Shabbos is described in our tradition as having a personality. I think we have a face. We go and greet it. Like it's a real like thing. We clean the house. Like it's a great person coming to our house. We treat it like it's like a mamish. It's alive. Okay? Pnei Shabbat Nekabbalah. Why do we need to go greet the Shabbos? Why can't I just be here? What's the idea behind greeting Shabbos?
To show ourselves that we're excited for it.
Nachon.
Yes, teach our children.
Teach our children and those around us. When you go out and celebrate something, it shows it's important to you. It shows you're excited. It shows, and it makes space for you to really, like, love it, to receive it. Right? Shabbos is something that has to be received. God, so to speak, sending His blessing, as Rosh Hashanah would say, the most highest blessing in the world. But if you're not, if someone's pouring the most amazing things on you, but you don't have a vessel to receive it, you're not going to receive it. So by dancing and singing Kabbalah Shabbat, we're kind of there to receive the presence of Shabbos. Yes? Okay, let's keep going. Who wants to read Shema Melech?
Keep Shabbos and remember Shabbos were said at once. The special God made us here. What God is one and His name is one, and for His name and His splendor, we praise Him.
Good. Okay, very esoteric, kind of like high words. Shema Zachar V'Divrecha, we understand, right? We are all familiar with the Midrash, that when God gave the Ten Commandments, He said Shema and Zachar at the same time. He's trying to resolve the fact that there's a contradiction. One place in the Torah... Pretty good. One place in the Torah says Shema, one place says Zachar. There are two aspects of Shabbos. We're stressing both of them, the don'ts and the do's. And they're both important. That's why they're both said in one speech. Right?
Right.
And the unique God can say them, meaning only a unique person can say something, and it can split out to mean two things which are heard at the same time. Like, I can't do that. But God is cool technology, and he can do that. Hashem Achad, Ushma Achad. What does it mean God is one and his name is one? What do we mean in his name is one?
Exactly what it sounds like.
Well, he has like a million names.
Right, so it doesn't seem like his name is one.
Well, God is one is obvious. Like,
there's
only one God.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean, Ushmo Echad?
He's not like, it's not that God goes by Baal and Ashtera and Zeus. And it's not like he's all of them. He's totally different.
He's by God.
But at the same time, he does have, there are many names of God, aren't there?
King of kings.
What does it mean his name is one? Maybe we could say one of the names of God. Name is a characteristic, right? Name is just a way of describing God. Because we're talking a lot about this in Chumash class, but
his name literally is one. Echad is God's name.
Exactly. So if you want to understand a characteristic of God, it's oneness. Meaning, from a Kabbalistic perspective, we're all part of God. Because before the world was created, there was only God. And God doesn't change. So we're really just a part of God. But we're not God. We're a part of God. This is what's called panentheism.
Okay?
Pantheism says everything is God. Panentheism says everything is a part of God, but not everything is God. Okay? So it is a little complicated. There's books about this. But the point is that we feel like we're connected to the oneness of the universe, which is God. Maybe that's an interpretation which I just thought of now, but it makes a lot of sense. Shmechab. L'shem ulitiferet ulitila. For name, our job is to make a name out of God, to put him as the highest. L'tiferet l'tilah, for praise and glory. In other words, we're here in this world to praise Hashem and to put him above everything else. Good. Ufir, why don't you read the second chapter? Excellent. So, how do you translate for us?
To greet the Shabbat, come, let us go.
Let's go out and greet Shabbat.
For of blessing, she is the source.
She's the source of blessing.
From the outset, as of old ordained. Last indeed, first in thoughts.
Good. We could sing it. Lekat Shabbat Chovin El Chagim Eko Averach Amirosh Miken Nesu Sob Maaseh Emach Shabbat Ilan Echadon Lekat Allah Bene Shabbat Nehram. Just to take it a little deeper, so we go out and greet the Shabbos, because it's the source of all blessing. What do we mean it's the source of all blessing, Jeremy? What do we mean God, that Shabbos is the source of all blessing? Jeremy?
What?
What do we mean that Shabbos is the source of all blessing?
Shabbos is the source of all blessing because, I don't know.
Okay. Any other ideas?
We're more like,
I just don't know why.
On Shabbat, we're more spiritually connected to God.
Okay, yeah, fair. So the way Rav Pinkus writes in his Sefer, he says, imagine you have like a big supermarket, and one day a week they take off from selling stuff. And what do? They just load. They just stock up.
They restock.
So he says that's what Shabbos is. Like you said, our soul is more connected to Hashem on that day. So we're reconnected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he sends down the spiritual and the physical blessing for the whole week. And there's many, many stories about this, but whatever. The point is that we believe that if a person stops on Shabbos, ironically, that helps the whole rest of the week have more blessing in every type of way. You know, a person would naturally think the opposite, need to keep working. By stopping, we're actually creating space for God to send more blessing down. The way what Rev Foreman explains it like this, he says, if you're, let's say, writing a paper, and you're writing, you're never done with it. and there's always more to do, and you're always stressed about it until you type it, print it out. Right. Remember, you had to like give in your paper right before the teacher, you know, grades it. But when you print it out and you give it in, then you're done, and then you can enjoy it.
Oof, yeah.
But beforehand, you can't ever enjoy it because you can always edit it. So that's like Shabbos. And the whole week, we're like, we always have to like change things. I have to do this, after that, I have to create.
And then Shabbos, you're done.
Shabbos, you're done, and you're just there to enjoy. And that's what can help it be the source of blessing. And
it's on the paper. Sometimes it's fun to write it.
Okay, that's true. Fine. Merush mekedem mesucha. She was honored from the beginning. What does it mean, she was honored from the beginning? What's that referring to?
Shabbos.
Shabbos is honored from the beginning. What does that mean?
Seventh day rest.
Perhaps it's saying in the Torah, already the first story in the beginning of the Torah was Shabbos. The whole 6 days of creation is actually just a story about Shabbos. It's all about how, you know, the 1 day and four matches up, and 2 and 5 match up, and 3 and 6 match up, and then
1 and 4 match up.
What was created on the first day?
I don't remember.
Light. What was created on the fourth day?
Space, let's guess.
Moon and the sun and the stars. A way to act.
Light and dark.
Light and dark is on the first day, and then the sun, the moon, and the stars are created on the fourth day. Okay. So the fourth day is the actualization of the potential of the first day.
Ah.
You get what I'm saying?
Then what?
And second and the fifth, third and the sixth.
I don't get second and fifth.
What's created on the second day, guys?
I don't know. Planets?
The
yeah, water.
Water was split up.
Yeah.
Water is above and the waters below were split.
Okay.
What's created on the fifth day?
Space.
The fishies and the birds. You get it?
Ah,
it's not space.
Okay, what's third day?
What's the third day? Dry land appears.
Grass. When did birds get put in space?
Grass in space.
Day five. What's on the third day?
Grass.
Land. What's on the sixth day?
Space.
Animals, people.
When space?
Space was the same day as the birds. Space is the same day as the sun and the moon.
Oh. Okay, the point is, guys, you get the point I'm saying? That there's an actualization. So what's created on the seventh day?
Shabbos!
And what actualizes the potential of Shabbos Kodesh? That's also true, but I would say the Jewish people who accepted the Torah on the seventh day. And now you understand the Midrash of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says that every day had a soulmate, and Shabbos says, who's my soulmate? And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, the Jewish people are going to come in on the seventh day on Shabbos, they're going to accept Shabbos.
Did they come on the sixth day?
It was on Shabbos that we received the Torah.
Tomorrow night is Shabbos.
Oh, I think
I'm in
there for
Krina. Tomorrow night is Shabbos.
That's
wait, when did we go to Shabbos? I need to get up back.
Tomorrow night. Okay.
Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow. You want to tell me. Okay. So what do we mean? Sof ma'aseh machshava tchila. Last in thought, but first in... Last in deed, but first in thought.
I don't know.
Whose thought?
Your thought.
No. Who's thinking? God's thought. But God's first thought was Shabbos. In other words, the whole world was really created for Shabbos. But why was it the last indeed?
It
can't be an actualization unless you have the first 6 days before.
Right, and on the practical level, it was created on the seventh day. Right? So, it's Sof Maaseh V'Machshava Tchila. You get it?
Yeah.
It's the purpose of creation. Yala, next. Mikdash Melech. Jeremy, do you want to try to read it? Or you want to sing it first?
What are we saying?
Mikdash melech, melech lakum itay, mitoch hafecha rav lashev be'emeka bach, v'hu yachamor ala hayichina le'ech adoni, v'ikad yala. What does that mean, Jeremy? O sanctuary
of the king, royal city, arise, depart from amid the upheaval. Too long have you dwelled in the valley of weeping. He will shower compassion upon you.
Good. Now, what does that mean? Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha. What city are we referring to is the city of Melucha, which is the king's of Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh. That's clearly the sanctuary of the king. That's where Hashem lives. Leave your upheaval. What does that mean, leave your upheaval?
I don't know.
What?
It says ruined state.
Here. Ruined state. Who's in a ruined state?
Jerusalem.
Well,
not right now.
That's well, okay. Thank God, after through many, many years of praying, God has began the process of rebuilding Yerushalayim.
And we're chilling in it.
And we're chilling in it, for sure. But what we're praying here now is that God should completely take us out of this hafecha, out of this. It's cool for me. I don't know if you guys remember, but for me, I remember when the Chorba was actually a Chorba. The Chorba was actually destroyed. The Chorba and the Rova, you know, the big synagogue? Yeah. The huge synagogue that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So just a couple of years ago, when I was in Shanov, it was not rebuilt yet. It was left destroyed. And now they've mamish built it up beautiful. I see in front of my eyes. The Chorba, the destruction.
Where is this? In the old city?
In the old city. It is called the Chorba Shul. The big one, the huge...
Wasn't it like the Rambam Shul?
Next to the Ramban. Alright, so the old city Shabbaton, I'll point it out to you. Okay? Gevalt. So we're rebuilding it, and we're praying that it be rebuilt. Rava Shevek Be'emek Kabacha. Too long have you sat in the Valley of Tears. Okay, there's actually places in the Golan which is called Emek Kabacha because of the big war that was fought there. But in any case, what are you referring? What is a?
Well, it said, "Get up from your ruined state. You've been crying for too long."
Right, exactly. So stop crying. We, in other words, we're referring now to the galut, right? We're talking. It's all about the galut. V'hu yachamol alaychem la. What does that mean?
We'll shower compassion on you.
And God will be compassionate towards us. Compassion is like when you see a baby, and for no other reason than the fact that he's a baby, you want to, you know, help him out. Right, like who in the Chumash do we see had chemla? Remember, the Torah uses that phraseology. By Paro, very good. Right, we also say it in Modani, the chemla rabba. Okay, each of these phrases is quoting different psukim in Tanakh. If this is Ian, we go into it like Rablach. Remember who says Rablach? Moshe and Datan and Aviram have the whole Rablach battle.
Rablach.
So there's a lot of, you know, hidden messages here, but we're sticking to the pshat. Okay.
Pshat.
So we've gone from talking about Shabbos and talking about Shabbos as a source of blessing, and now suddenly we're talking about how God take us out of the Golos. And the obvious question is, what does that have to do with anything? I thought we were talking about Shabbos. Why are we singing about how God take us out of this exile? Right, Jeremy, you ever think about that?
No.
Well, now you will. We sing Lechadori, and it's all about the God take us out of crying in this gullus. Rebuild Yerushalayim. Like, what does that have to do with Shabbos Kodesh?
I don't know.
What do you think? Ophir, what do you think?
Good
Shabbos. That's very nice.
That's all I got.
What is thinking about the exile have to do with Shabbos Kodesh? Getting us out of the exile.
Freedom.
Okay.
Sure.
Shabbos are like.
Have we heard of a different concept of Shabbos besides for the seven daily cycles? Is there another concept of Shabbos?
Yes.
What's that?
I don't know. I just
The Shabbos of Jewish history. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the concept that there's 6,000 years of exile, and then the seventh, you know, generation, we're going to go to freedom. We're going to be redeemed. The Jewish people are going to go out of their state of chol and go into a state of Shabbos. Mashiach, yes.
When's this happening? 7,000 years?
Hopefully soon. Hopefully
wait,
today.
How many years has it been?
According to one count, 5777.
So we have to wait till 7,000 years?
No, it'd be 6,000 because it's like Shabbos. You don't wait until...
So we're all going to be dead by the time it comes.
So, interestingly enough, I was sharing this yesterday, Shabbos doesn't... You would think that Shabbos would start at Shkia, right? But actually, very often, what do? We take Shabbos on early.
Oh.
Right? We take it on either 15 or 18 or 40 minutes early. So it could be that Hashem's going to arrange it. That we can take... If we earn it... We could take Shabbos to find ourselves early. We could bring the Mashiach early.
Ah, let's do that then. What are we waiting for?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
A year 7,000?
6,000, technically.
Why are we waiting that long?
Now, again, this is not... There's many different ways to count it. And even the count 577 is not... Everyone agrees that we're exactly there. Some people think we're more farther up.
Like
we miscounted at some point in Jewish history. And I don't know, it's a Kabbalistic idea, it's a 6,000 thing, and you know, Kabbalistic ideas can be interpreted in many different ways. But the point is that the Jewish people do yearn and are hoping for this great day of Shabbos. And Shabbos refers not just to the weekly, but to the communal level for the on the national level too. So we're yearning for that Shabbos too, in Yerushalayim. You got it, Jeremy?
Yeah.
So it makes sense? Okay. Next paragraph. It does make sense. How does it not? Wait. I don't want you to pretend. I want you to be real. You know when I especially love singing Kabbalat Shabbat? When I'm in Yerushalayim. And I'm singing for Yerushalayim for it to be rebuilt, especially in the old city.
In Yerushalayim.
Near the place of the Midrash.
That's pretty cool.
I love doing it in Yerushalayim, yeah.
That's good too.
But yeah, I miss Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but it's not Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but like I haven't found anything that I've liked here.
Okay, so maybe you start liking new things.
Maybe you gotta start.
No, it's just like I haven't found many that I connect to.
Okay.
Then you gotta find one, man.
I wanna find one.
Okay.
Do it.
You can go to the Turkish one that I go to.
Yeah, join.
Okay, let's keep going.
Maybe you're Persian, you don't even.
Hina ari me'afaku milishimende divadecha me'al yaden yishai bet alam ba'ba nafshi ge'ala le'chadod ve'ekat gala. Ezra, what does it mean? Let's go. Let's translate for us.
Whatever you want it to mean.
No, it doesn't.
Why not?
Keep Nari.
Temple of the king?
No, shake off.
What?
Shake
off.
Hinari.
Hinari, sir.
Hinari.
So you shake yourself off from the dust, get up from the dust wearing these clothes of glory on through the hand of the son of Jesse, which I guess is David HaMelech.
Who's Jesse?
Ishai, the father of David HaMelech.
From Beit Lechem, come closer to my soul and redeem me. Come, my beloved, to greet the bride.
Good. Excellent. So what do we mean, shake off the dust and get up?
Awaken to sing.
Who? What does it mean to shake off the dust?
You can't always get up.
Right, the Jewish people have to wait.
You're getting pushed down.
The Jewish people have to push off the dust, all the dirt of the exile, and go back up to Eretz Yisrael. There's a great sefer, amazing sefer, by this kid. He was 21, I believe, and he was murdered by a terrorist, I believe, or may have been in the army. Anyways, he wrote like a 100 different rabbis who say you have to make aliyah. And he wrote a letter challenging Moshe Feinstein. And he wrote to Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe Feinstein has on the Haskama of the book. It's really, really funny and interesting. And he says, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I appreciate what you're doing. And his whole thing is the book is called, I think, Me'afar Kumi, something like that. He's not Me'afar Kumi, like, get up! And he's trying to get the Jewish people to make Aliyah. And the whole book is trying to prove from a halachic perspective that it's absolutely obligatory to live in Eretz Yisrael. Not that it's an optional mitzvah, but it's a mandatory mitzvah. Whatever. It's an interesting read if you ever want to read a 21-year-old genius and his perspective.
What about an 18-year-old genius?
That's good too. But Gavad, so he now is wake up, let's make aliyah. Leave she big day to vart dakam. What does it mean to wear splendid clothing? What's that referring to?
Take off the sackcloths of the exile.
And wear Shabbos clothes. Exactly. At the Kotel they have a Rosh Chodesh meeting, Erev Rosh Chodesh, where they wear sackcloth.
Where'd Jay go?
This guy wears sackcloth every day.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
I think so. Rabbi. Stop
asking these questions.
Okay. Who's the son of Yishai? We're going to shake off the clothes of the son of Yishai. Who's that?
David.
David HaMelech. Interesting that we don't call him David HaMelech. We just say the son of Yishai. Yishai was known as someone who never sinned. So maybe it's like to give him some credit. I don't know.
David sinned.
From Beit HaLechem.
Or David.
David was from Beit Lechem. I guarded Beit Lechem. Pretty cool.
Where did you go?
I guarded Beit Lechem when my first stints in the army.
The real Beit Lechem or the town over that they call Beit Lechem?
I guarded like both, like the Jewish one and protecting from the Arabs.
Bethlehem.
Live around there.
I wish those cities were ours. That's where Beit Lechem got born.
Karva el nafshi ge'ala. This is like my favorite line in all of the Chadodi. Karva el nafshi ge'ala. What does that mean?
Near to my soul, redeem it.
We're saying, God, come near to my soul and redeem it. Which you could use two separate things, like come near and redeem, but you could say that what is redemption? Okay. When it comes near to your soul. When you feel close to God, when you feel connected to Hashem, that is redemption. Such a beautiful line. Harva al nafshi. And that's Shabbat Kodesh, when our soul feels connected to Hashem. Beautiful, no?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going, boys. Next. Hitore. Ophir, translate for us.
Wake up. For your light has come, rise, shine. Awake, awake, break out in song, for the Lord's glory is revealed on you.
So who are we telling to wake up?
Jews.
The Jewish people, because what has happened?
They're sleeping.
They're sleeping with their Yetzer Haras. But and what specific event are we referring to that the light has come?
Mashiach.
The light of Mashiach. We're imagining right now like Mashiach has come, and we're dancing and proclaiming how awesome it would be if Mashiach had come. And we're singing, Shir Daberi, we're singing, and the glory of God is being revealed. Yes? Okay. Let's keep going, because our time is short. Lo te bo shivat lo te kame ma te zahari O ma te mi ba ya ye chesu Ani ma mi ne vne ta Ye al ti la le e chado di Di katana te ne shava ne kavela Jeremy, why don't you read for us what Lote Boshi means? It's feel not ashamed in the English.
Feel not ashamed, be not humiliated. Why are you downcast? Why are you disconsolate? In you will my people's afflicted find shelter as the city is built upon its hilltop.
Awesome. Now let's translate. Why would we be humiliated and downcast? What?
Exile.
We've been in exile, exactly. And plus we have sin, and like, you know, it's embarrassing to come before God when you have sin. But the poet is saying, don't be embarrassed, because who's you? Will my afflicted find shelter? Who's you? Who do we find shelter in? Hashem, I think. Maybe also referring to Yerushalayim and Shabbos Kodesh. So those who are afflicted, those who are sick, those who are down are going to find shelter. And we're going to build the city on the hilltop. What's the city on the hilltop?
Jerusalem.
How is it on a hilltop? Look down at Ir David, it's on a hilltop. So it's called the city on the hilltop. Okay? Alright, new song? Or we're sticking with this one?
Let's finish it, man.
Stay with it.
What is the value of Shishlam in Ezra?
It says here, those who despoil you shall be despoiled.
May your oppressor be downtrodden.
And everyone who devoured you shall be far away.
Mm-hmm.
Your God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride.
Psh, beautiful. In other words, it's such beautiful imagery. What we're saying is that God is dancing every Shabbos like a chatan around his kala. We are the kala. We the Jewish people are the kala, and God is dancing. And that's why, really, what you guys should do every Arab Shabbos is just start dancing wedding songs and singing and saying, "We're getting married tonight," because that's really what Shabbos is. So you dress up in your finest Shabbos clothing, your wedding clothing. We're going to greet our bride, and Hashem is dancing and he's getting rid of our enemies, and we're. Mama's dancing with a chatan on a kala. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
Okay.
I like the whole metaphor.
It's beautiful, way. Right? It's mama's beautiful. Yaminos
ayadis ben
Avila, Ophir, translate for us.
Right and left you shall spread out, and God you will revere. Through the descendant of Peretz we shall rejoice, and we shall be glad.
Good. So what do we mean right and left you're going to spread out the fruit?
All everywhere.
All over the world. And when did we see a promise regarding right and left of spreading out? God tells Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that you're going to spread out
land.
And conquer land.
Wait, does Ashkenazim, like what we do, when we do the mean or small, we like that, right?
Yeah. 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 Generally. It's not a law, it's just something that people do, often.
So we turn around for the last
time. No, I'm sure that you do it. Boy, B'Shalom, everyone turns around.
I don't know. My shoulder doesn't turn around, so I'm going to my shoulder.
Really?
I'll do it, everyone turns around.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I don't either. Maybe because they're facing already towards...
What's the idea behind
here? Oh, so hold on. We'll get there 1 second. Let's just finish this. And we're going to praise God. And praise through God. The son of Parti. Who's Parti? Ben Parti? David Melech. What does Peretz mean?
It's my mom's maiden name.
Cool. Well, who is Peretz?
Shimon
Peretz? The son Shimon Peretz. In the Torah, it says that it has the story of Tamar. She gives birth to a boy named Peretz, and Mashiach is supposed to come from him. Peretz also means to create force, like the fruit together. So. Cool. The Mashiach is meant to be someone who's going to break down all of the assumptions, all what we knew, and Mamash bring a whole new world. And we're going to rejoice and be happy. All right? Bowie B'Shalom. Bowie B'Shalom, the custom, this goes, as far as I know, this actually goes back to the Rizal. The custom is on Bowie B'Shalom to turn either towards Eretz Yisrael. Or towards the back of the shul, different customs. The Arizal would put his hands one over the other and receive the energy of Shabbat. As if like you're receiving the bride. Like you're getting married at that moment when you say Bowie B'Shalom. So you go to receive, you'll see at the Kotel a lot of people like me like are doing this. And then you say Bowie B'Shalom and then you turn back. That's the custom. I don't know why.
Why do you turn around?
To receive the energy of the bride, which is coming at that moment. Traditionally, when you said Lecha Dodi and Bowie B'Shalom, you were accepting Shabbos upon yourself. Because it was generally before Shabbos actually came in. Nowadays, when you do a Karl Bach Davening, you've already accepted Shabbos upon yourself. But if you do make an early Shabbos and you do Bowie Kali, you're actually accepting Shabbos upon yourself at that moment. You get it, Ophir? You guys know the Rosh Shlomo Nigun for Bowie B'Shalom?
I'll teach
you.
We bow.
Yeah, we go to the back, we bow, right, and then we switch. I'll teach you guys the Rosh Shlomo Nigun. It's really beautiful. Bowie B'Shalom Ateret Bala Yam B'Simcha Oktzala Yoch Emone Okay, so let's finish off. Bowie B'Shalom, come in peace. Ateret, crown of her husband. Shabbos is the crown of her husband. Okay? It's like the apex of the week. Gam B'Simcha V'Tzala, also with joy and rejoicing. Toch Emunei Am Segula, with faith from her special nation. Bowie Kala, come my beloved. Come, my beloved. Okay, I want to finish off our shiur today with one last Rav Shlomo teaching. So Rav Shlomo has a beautiful, beautiful teaching based on this phrase. He says, how do you know if you've had a successful davening? How do you know if you feel like that davening really, really worked? So says Jeremy, if you feel God in your heart. Beautiful explanation, not what Rav Shlomo says.
Oh, man.
Well, for how do you know if you had a successful...
Hashem feels you in his heart.
That's also beautiful explanation, not Rav Shlomo says.
I just don't remember
what it is. Nachon, I probably mentioned you before because one of my favorite Torahs. What do you think, Ezra? How do you know whether you're successful too?
I don't know.
Oh, so here's what he says.
There's so many answers.
So Shlomo says, Toch emune am segula. If at the end of davening, I'm full of faith for the Jewish people, I love the Jewish people, I just want to hug every person I meet, aww, I'm just so happy, then I know I've had a successful teal. If after boichala, I want to go over to my friend and give him a big hug, then I know the teal did its work. And if not, if I am angry at people and whatever, then the tefillah didn't really go in. Oh. So we should be blessed to have Kabbalat Shabbat, Shabbos Koitis, where we truly love Hashem and truly love each other and bring Mashiach. Amen. 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 Amen.